ready for the word this morning? Thank you, Lord God. Turn in your Bibles. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And I've got a direction I want to start this morning. Not sure where we end up. But I'm trusting God. He's got something to speak to us. Amen. Well, I know He does. I'm trusting Him to speak it through me. And Exodus chapter 3. Here we have Moses in the wilderness. Remember Moses in the wilderness for 40 years, tending sheep? It says in verse 1, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert." I'm telling you, he's as far away from people as you can get. I'm telling you what, sometimes that's what I want to do. You follow me on this? Sometimes the devil hits like, just get me as far from people as you can get me right now, Lord. Let me gas up that motorcycle and just go south. You always want to go south on a motorcycle. And build me a treehouse or something. And that's what's happened to Moses. He's avoiding people. I mean, this is representing trying to escape responsibilities. It says, "And came to the mountain of God." Even though, now, I don't live there. Let me rephrase that or make this clear. That's not where I live. It's just sometimes there's a hit, and it's like, glory to God. How far can I get on a tank of gas? "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Now, how many know this is God appearing to him? This is God positioning Moses to give him a word that's going to adjust the course of his life. Amen. With just a bush. Amen. "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." Now, here we see Moses sees the burning bush. It catches his attention, and he says, "I must now turn from the direction I was going to a different direction to see what's going on in the situation." And of course, in that turning, when he made the decision to make a turn, God appeared to him, and the rest is Scripture. That's a history, but you can alter history. Scripture is Scripture. The rest is written down. And he became the greatest, or among the greatest leaders of all Old Testament history, right? But he had to make the turn toward God. Monday night at the Advance, right before I was ministering during praise and worship, I'm just worshiping God and trying to get my heart right, you know, and make sure I'm ready to step behind the pulpit, you know, or, you know, make sure I'm accessing all the anointing I can. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, 2015 is a pivotal year. Now, I've been after God all year. What is 2015? I've got up and stood before you. I don't know. But I heard 2015 is a pivotal year. And, you know, when I'm thinking pivotal, I'm thinking pivotal. We think pivotal, you know, moment means an important moment, something monumental, something of great importance. And to me, the Lord says, it's important, but that's not what I'm talking about. He said, it's a year that's going to be a pivot point. A pivot point is something, a point that something else swivels or revolves around. And I brought this out Monday night in basketball because this is, you know, basketball country. Not touching that one right now, praise God. It'd be nice. In basketball, everybody in Kentucky knows that when you stop dribbling, or if you have the ball, you establish a pivot foot. It can be your right foot or your left foot. And that pivot foot means you can turn on that foot, but you can't turn this foot and then this foot. Otherwise, it's traveling. See, everybody in Kentucky knows this, right? So that foot that you establish or you set that you're not moving becomes a pivot point by which you spend the rest of your body. And I believe this is a year of God's going to do some turning in the body of Christ. He's establishing a point by which we're going to focus on, center on, and revolve our lives around. Now, that could be Jesus. It could be the glory. It could be the anointing. It could be the Holy Spirit. It could be all of those. But God's about to do something in our life where instead of our life revolving around the things of the world, it's going to revolve around the things of God. Did you follow me on this? Look at Habakkuk chapter 2. Now again, in this church, we know Habakkuk chapter 2, right? Verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. And watch and see what he shall say unto me. What I shall answer when I'm reproved. Verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. He may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It says at the end, the vision is going to speak. It's interesting, when I came out, I always come out and I share a word of God before service, usually. And what I usually do, I don't even know what I'm going to turn to when I get here. I open my Bible, and whatever it opens to, I look, is there a verse there? Sometimes I may turn a few pages, but I'm finding what verse jumps out at me to start service. I'm trying to be led of the Spirit every aspect. And there's the message I prepare. This is just launching out, letting God speak to me. So when I went to Zechariah 10 this morning, I opened my Bible, it fell open to Zechariah 10. About the latter rain, right? And what did we start singing? I didn't know what the worship team had planned. Pour out the rain. God's wanting to bring us through divine intervention, understanding of the seasons that we are in. Amen. And we are in the time of the end. The vision is in verse 14 where it says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Well, listen. God's bringing the glory to the earth. But it moves in on the tracks. Remember the glory train? The glory moves on in the tracks of the knowledge of the things of God. God's got to get knowledge to us to prepare us and equip us to carry the glory. He didn't just say, I'm going to bring the glory and pour it out. I'm going to pour it out according to knowledge. And when we come to church, we're here to learn, how does this system operate? Now in verse 4, backing up, he tells us the people that aren't of the vision and the people that are. He says, behold, he whose soul is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. He contrasts two people, one that lives by faith and one who's elevated his soul. Now again, we've discussed this many times now. What does it mean to elevate your soul? To elevate your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. To elevate your soul means you live out of your own intellect and planning and determination. In other words, to elevate your soul means you're elevating what you think above what the Word of God declares. You're elevating your soul above the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. You've lifted up your soul that now God can't get direction to you. You already know how He's going to move, or that He's not going to move. And He said, the one who's lifted up his soul, he's not upright. He can't move into the glory. But the just shall live by his faith. Now, the one that lives by faith has realized that when we got born again, we were made citizens of another kingdom. And in that kingdom, there are exceeding great and precious promises. And by learning to activate faith in our life, we can access those promises. We don't have to be sick anymore. Amen? Don't pay attention to the scratchiness of my voice. That's a lying symptom. I'm home in bed. It's a lying symptom. Amen. And this is defeated. Don't look at my checking account and say, well, you said God prospers. Don't look at my checking account. Look at the Word. Because I'm going someplace with this. Are you following me? There's promises by faith we target and can access. Our children serving God fully. all of our family saved, walking in the fullness of joy and peace. Those are promises that you cannot access out of natural operation. They're only accessed by faith. Amen. They're accessed by learning how to meditate the Word of God till faith is established, and then you speak the Word and you stand until you see things supernaturally take place. Right? So the one that lives by faith makes a conscious decision, not just to go to church, but let the Word overtake their thinking. To spend time reading and meditating and praying over Scripture, praying in the Holy Ghost, until they become spiritually minded instead of carnally minded, so that the things of the supernatural seem normal to them. Amen. I mean, we heard the testimonies this morning of Greta, right? Arteries made clear. Financial breakthrough. And there are people who would hear that testimony in churches all over America right now and go, I don't believe all that. Well, to you, it's expected. Well, of course. God's moving. Amen. And so the faith Christian has learned to disconnect from natural thinking and move into supernatural. I tell you what, the more you move into the realm of the Spirit, I think the more you forget natural things you're supposed to, you know, that you would normally do. Do you know what I'm talking about? You're caught up with God and normally have a routine, but you're caught up with God, and that routine all of a sudden takes second place or a back seat. And you just flow in what God's telling you to do. Amen. I personally believe our service are going to move to the point we don't know what's going to happen next. As we started praise and worship this morning, actually, I was ministering the word starting out on Zechariah. And as I was in praise and worship, it was like the Holy Spirit said, why'd you stop? You're teaching the word. Why did you stop there? There was a flow. Did you know there's a flow in that this morning? God just got on that message. I didn't have anything planned. He just started speaking. And it was like the Holy Spirit says, you stop because it's tradition. You stop and pray and start praising and worship. Learn not to let traditional operation get you out of a flow. Amen. Now all is well, but God's teaching us some things. The one who lifts up his soul knows he thinks he knows what he should do next. The one who's in faith says, God, what would you have me do next? And they get into moving with God. Now, regarding a pivot point, I believe with us, a key pivot point is when you move to the place of living more by faith than you do by intellect or pre-planning. Did you follow me? You come to the place, your life is founded and grounded on the Word of God and the promises contained in Scripture. And you're not just trying to plan what your day is going to be and what you're going to do. You really have this relationship with the Holy Spirit where He's guiding you in the day. And I believe there comes a tipping point. You know what I mean when I say tipping point? A tipping point where you get so over in that realm of following God, all of a sudden you start moving into the glory. As long as soul or your intellect or your own efforts, your own strength are dominating your life, you're not going to be able to tip into that place of flowing in the Holy Spirit. Now, with a tipping point, I'm wondering where the... Tom, do you know the derivation of that term? What happens is when you have a bucket or a container or something, and let's just say it's at a little bit of an angle, you can put so much fluid in there and it'll stay flat. But when it comes to the point that enough is filled in that container, it reaches a place of imbalance that it'll tip over and spill everything within it, right? Even in vehicles. Your vehicle, if based on the weight distribution of that vehicle, if you're going around a corner fast enough, that vehicle can flip because the centripetal force along with, you know, against your gravity, it reaches a tipping point. In this case, a flipping point. But I want us to see this tipping point is a place where outpouring takes place. The place where you've got the bucket held there, and it, you know, it's a little bit a little bit tilted, and you feel it, and you feel it, and finally gets to the place where something's got to spill. The point being is there is very little outpour until the tipping point is reached. Amen. And what it is instead is a season, could be a very long season, of continual filling with little spilling. Did you follow me on that? You're doing what you need to do in your spiritual exercises and disciplines. You're getting filled. You're in the Word. You're meditating Word. You're praying. You're praying in the Holy Ghost. You're tithing. You're going to church. And you feel like, when are things going to break? When are things going to happen? Well, I'm telling you what, when the tipping point hits, you have a day of Pentecost. That was a tipping point. Right? We've been talking about that point in time where everything shifted in the world. And God, I believe, has a series of tipping points He's bringing to pass in these end times. And I believe last week was one of them. Are you trying to build up the events? No, I'm talking about the words God gave me last week. I'm talking about what God was doing in me last week. I felt a tip. I felt a little bit of a shift when I came back from Ghana. But I felt a tipping point for the church corporately last week. Is this okay with you? I'm going to speak it anyway, so you might as well just settle it. So when the Lord told me, this is a pivotal year, and I saw the thing about the basketball player, the next image I saw, I wasn't trying to think of something, it came to me, was a roller coaster. And I shared this again Monday night. Was a roller coaster. And I loved roller coasters. I mean, I virtually loved roller coasters. And my girls both loved roller coasters because I trained them young. When my girls were babies, I took them on what I called the Vortex. It was my home roller coaster. I'd hold them in my arms, put their head here. I'd put my arm here on their legs, wrap them, and I'd do this. Well, it's a pivot. And I would flip them upside down, dive them down, come up, and they loved it. So by the time it was time for them to ride roller coaster, going like, this is nothing. Amen. Not to mention the nuclear slide I put in the backyard. I put a slide in the backyard with Formica. You talk about flying down a slide. It's homemade with Formica top. You went down it with some jeans on or something. And so, I don't know where I was going with all of that, but I saw this roller coaster. And what I saw was on the coaster, it'll start off, most of them are going to start, on level ground, and you'll have your, let me do another color here. I win. You're going to have your cars here, on the roller coaster. And so you load up in that lower area. But then the coaster is going to take you very quickly up a hill. And this is the click, click area. Click, click, because they have these catches that if something happens, they don't want you going backwards. These are little safety catches as you go up to keep you from falling backwards should something fail. This thing will go up a hill. Big hill. You ever rode the Beast in Cincinnati? And then it's going to do this. And if you rode the Vortex, it's going to do this. And come back. I love the tube roller coasters. Amen. And this thing doesn't take off until it gets to the top of the hill. Are you following me? The way roller coasters run is as you go up the hill, you are storing potential energy. I just threw them for Patty. She likes the physics stuff. Potential energy. In other words, if I lift this water bottle up, it had one level of potential energy here. If I fall, knock it off the chair, it's going to fall to the ground. If I lift it up, it's storing more and more potential energy. Now if I drop, it's going to fall much faster, right? And that's how a roller coaster works. It stores up potential energy until it gets to the tipping point, the pivot point. What happens as the roller coaster gets up here, it's funny. Have you ever ridden very many of them? If you ride in the front car of a roller coaster, you can go clear over the hill, be looking down like this, and the roller coaster is still not taking off. Because all the weight of the back cars that are still storing up potential energy, they may be back here, and they're holding the front from going. Amen. See, this is a corporate move God's going to bring. Some will be up front thinking, when's this going to release? Others going to get caught by surprise when it does. Because if you're in the back car, you can still not even see over the hill yet. But if you got enough cars here, all of a sudden, you're going to accelerate, and it's going to whip you over the hill. Amen? Front cars are better. And what happens is this tipping point is the point at which potential energy is transformed into kinetic energy, meaning energy in motion. That's where momentum is developed. And as God was showing me that roller coaster, He was saying, everything you've been doing up until now in the church primarily has been to build potential energy. Amen. But there's coming a tipping point where now all of potential energy is going to be released into a kinetic or an energy in motion. And this would be like a day of Pentecost. Amen. This is Azusa Street, you know, back in 1907. These are tipping point days or seasons. And I believe we're in a tipping point season. What happens in the tipping point? Over on this side, God's building you into the fruit of the Spirit. He's building you integrity. Over here is where He's teaching you faith. Over here is where He's teaching you the anointings. He's teaching you to try the spirits, that you know what's of God and what isn't. You know, when I taught on counterfeit churches Monday night, that was about learning how to identify real from the fake. Because for every genuinely anointed church nowadays, I'm talking about moving to the glory, there's 100 that aren't moving in. Now, their people love God. I'm believing a majority of them will go to heaven. I'm hoping. Are you following me? But they're not moving into the glory. They're not moving to their God-assigned job. They're moving to what they can come up with out of their own determination and effort. But God's come back for a people live by faith. Amen. I'm even somewhat of the mindset, and nobody get threatened by this. I'm of the mindset, those that learn to live by faith, moving to the glory, they're going up in the rapture. And those that don't, which would be multitudes of Christians, unless we see them come in during the harvest, and I believe most of them will. Many Christians will go through the tribulation because Scripture says the bride has made herself ready. And the rapture is about coming back for the bride. Amen. So there's a responsibility to cooperate with the training of the Holy Spirit over here. Over here is the area where you learn to receive the promises. Of course, that's faith. You're learning how to set aside what you think on behalf of what the Word says. Over here is the place of getting victory over the emotions. Right? We've taught on that. Oh, here's the place you learn to worship God. When everything looks like it's collapsing around you. It's learning the spiritual disciplines and principles of the kingdom. Amen. Over here, on this side, once it transfers to kinetic, God's going to take all this training, all this anointing, everything you learned to access, and now it's going to be converted into healing sick people. Miracles. Translations. Mass evangelism. When you read about the book of Acts, it's not called the book of the potential learning of the disciples. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. See, they spent 3 to 3.5 years with Jesus building up potential. Even after he appeared again, he says, wait, they spent 40 days in training. That was an accelerated learning course right there. And of course, there was a lot they didn't know because a lot of the stuff they learned didn't stay together because they were still young in understanding the kingdom of God. But Jesus took all that learning he imparted for 3.5 years, spent 40 days explaining it after he rose from the dead. They waited 10 more days for the moving of the Spirit. And at the tipping point day, 8,000 people are saved in 1 week. Do you see this? Now, I'm not saying we're going to see 8,000 people saved this year. It could be 50,000. I'm not saying we'll have 50 people. I'm saying God, I believe, spoke to me it's a tipping point year. And it could be just a tipping point year where we really get a hold of faith at a higher level. Could be a tipping point financially. Could be a tipping point in anointing. Could be all of them. Amen. But it's going to require to keep filling yourself with the things of the kingdom to reach that tipping point. Because every time you do something to build yourself, these are the things you do in secret. These are all the things done in secret. God said everything that's done in secret shall be revealed. And all those churches that tried to build themselves out of man's effort, amen, what they did is they tried to start over here with no potential energy. So what they're doing is instead of letting the built-up energy of the Spirit provide motion for them, they're having to push the car themselves. Amen. Have you ever had to push a car? They're really where they're at. They're not even in this section. They're over here. Here's their little car. And they're pushing it instead of letting God supernaturally provide it motion. And it comes a point you're going to run out of your own fuel. You're going to run out of your own ability. And you're not able, see over here, all this is the supernatural. This is miracles. This is genuine move of God. Over here, did you ever push a car and it was on a little bit of a hill? From a little bit of a hill. That if you're driving with the engine, you never notice it was a hill. But if you're pushing it, you notice it's a hill. Because you notice little things trying to use your own strength more than you do if you're in something that has an engine in it. Amen. Well, over here, every little bump, some little thing happens. We had a move of God, a little move of God. No, you're pushing it with your own strength. You just had a little bit of place where there's a little downhill place, middle uphill place. You're still pushing with your own ability. Over here, you're spending the time, even the years necessary, to get to the top, the pivot point with God. And now God's going to convert all that into seen activity. Over here, they're going to push so far, end up back at the starting place. Because they never even started with faith yet. They're just going back to the starting place. And be hidden under that shelter again. Nobody's seeing them. Amen. Don't grow weary in well-doing, the word says. For in due tipping point season, ye shall reap a harvest. Keep doing what's right and let God build these things in you, because those that are taking shortcuts are avoiding these things. The counterfeit churches are not accessing these things. They're doing out of human effort, human building plans, human fundraisers. I get emails pretty often about, hire us to do your fundraising. I don't want fundraising. I want people to know about seed. And I want the seed I sow to bring forth the harvest. Amen? And so, God at the tipping point is going to convert the secret into the revealed. And the world's going to see. They're going to know. Amen. I'm trying to figure out which order to go in here. I received a word from God. Really, it was all week. It was a progressive word, but primarily Thursday night I received a word. And then I was called up Friday night to give that word. And I wrote it down. I wrote it down Thursday night. The highlights of it. I want to read that to you this morning because God was just dropping stuff in me the entire week, just like Nancy was talking about this message was this message was this. Well, God was showing to me a direction he was going. In fact, Tuesday night, I noticed something. I walk into church. I get to the front area where I'm sitting, and I had so much energy hit me. I wanted to dance. See, I would dance a lot more if I thought I could dance at all. I couldn't dance when I was a drunk. I just thought I could. When I weighed a lot less. So not much is going to happen now. I'll just do this. But I felt like I could run circles around the church. I felt supernatural strength and energy hitting my body. And I got there Wednesday night, and there it was again. I go home, collapse, take a big nap, but I get to church, it's like, whoa. And Thursday night, the third night it happened, I said, what's going on, God? And this is where he gave me this word. Because I've been to a lot of meetings. Like Nancy says, I've been to a lot of meetings. This is now almost 20 years of word rallies, advances, and financial conferences. I got to thinking, I've probably been to 50 sets of meetings with, say, an average of 8 sessions. That's 400 sessions, and I missed one. In all the years, I've missed one meeting. That's because I had a tooth pulled that morning and thought it'd be okay, and I didn't take any pain medication that night. That tooth said, no, we got a problem here. And so I missed that one meeting. And I've never felt the energy of God hit me like that in all those meetings. I walked in and felt excitement. I felt the anointing. But I'm talking about anointing like I'm ready to outrun the chariot. And I mean, I felt like I could run a marathon. Did anybody else feel that? Just me, anybody? Raise your hand or something. You felt that? I didn't know, maybe just on the front row or something. And here's the word God gave me. A strengthening anointing, is being released this year, which is a genuine grace of God. As the enemy is attempting to pervert understanding of the grace of God, the genuine power available through grace is being released corporately, as never before. It is the same anointing that enabled Ezekiel to outrun a chariot. It came right to me. It's the same anointing that Moses accessed to stay on Mount Sinai for 40 days without food or water, we might add. And that Jesus experienced to overcome the temptations in the wilderness. It's designed to empower the revivalist. Say, that's me. So this anointing's for you. It wasn't just that those nights. It's been released. God's released this. It is designed to empower the revivalist to advance into fulfilling their God-given assignments, being released even now, as well as to overcome in the challenges ahead. God's releasing an anointing we've never stepped into before to allow us to do what we've never done before. This anointing will make possible for the people of faith to overcome what has held them back in the past. I'll allow them to be energized to do above what they thought they were capable of, and to stay on the mountaintop with God like never before. The glory is not coming just because we are divinely positioned, just because you go to the right church, but also because we accomplish the assignments for which God, the assignments for which we were positioned. This anointing is being made available to those who will seek God to fulfill their assignments by faith. This is a tipping point anointing. In fact, let me finish reading and then I'll mention. Just as the word declares that the sluggard will not prosper, go to the sluggard, thou Aunt Debbie. It also states that those who will not work will not eat. How many know that scripture? I mean, it's written all over Ghana. You don't work, you don't eat. In the same fashion, those who will not work the word of God, they just allow themselves to be divinely positioned, but they're not divinely operating, developing faith, will not work the word of God, will not partake of the blessings available and the provision necessary in the days ahead. There's trying days coming ahead. There's going to be people that soar through it and people that struggle through it. Those who press through will dine from the master's table. Trust in this new anointing to enable you in every arena. I've got at home a set of hydraulic bottle jacks. You may know what hydraulic bottle jacks are. Little round jacks, and you pump them up, lifts up, whatever. A couple years ago, I had to do some work on my house, and I had a floor joist that is sad because the air conditioning guy knocked all the supports out to run his ducts. So I went to put some new flooring in the kitchen, found out there's this whole part of the floor sagged. In fact, it was a whole side of my house that sagged. So I went to Lowe's and Walmart and bought something like a half a dozen hydraulic jacks of different sizes. And I crawled under the house and put them under there, and I jacked up that whole corner of the house and then put new supports under it. And so I've got these different jacks on. I meant to bring a couple in for a display, or, you know, for a visual. But I've got some that are just one-ton jacks. A one-ton bottle jack is like the smallest bottle jack they make. I've got one or two that are 12-ton bottle jacks. They make them as big as you want to go. You follow me? And to run the bottle jack, all you do is you put it under the thing you want to lift. You start jacking that handle. Doesn't take a whole lot of effort. Not hard to do. Give you a little bitty handle like that, you just do that. And this thing starts lifting up. The thing is, the 12-ton jack, when I put under the house, I jacked up, stuff was moving. When I put under the 1-ton under there in places, it would get to a point it just didn't want to go any higher. It would max out. It'd reach a point that that 1-ton jack couldn't lift that corner of the house anymore. So I had a bigger jack, and I had all these jacks lined up, lifting parts of the joist along there. And the 1-ton jacks would max out. They wouldn't go any higher. They reach a point you can pump it, but there's a valve in there, a safety valve that won't let it go any higher even though you're pumping. It go up and it'll bleed back down. Go up and bleed back down. But the 12-ton joist began to splinter when it reached a point it didn't want to go beyond. I mean, I was cracking joists. I mean, they're pushing up six times the power with the same pumping the handle. And I believe this anointing God's pouring out, this tipping point we're coming into. In fact, let me back up and talk about that more in a minute. This anointing is God saying, with the anointing you've accessed in the past, it's reached a place that it can't do any more in your life. You've maxed it out. Did you follow me? That you're at a certain level of anointing. And God says, it's not enough to go where I want to take you, where I need to take you. I mean, we're going to a place you're going to believe in for food, protection. I really believe there's coming an attack in this nation that your lives could be threatened. And the anointing, you know, for ingrown toenails isn't going to do it to stand against these things. So I believe God's saying, I'm changing your Jack. And of course, you can't get more an anointed word than Jack anyway. Amen. And he's pulling out the one-ton Jack in your life and saying, here's a six-ton Jack. The stuff you couldn't do before, you can do. The books you couldn't write before, you can write. The healings you can access now. But it's still our job to pump that little lever. The jack doesn't go up on its own. A jack is a great example. A hydraulic jack is a great example of faith. As you do what you can, and God starts lifting things out of the way. It amplifies the force you can apply yourself. And I believe God's saying, last week was a pivot point for the anointing to enable you to go into the glory. Now, another word that kept coming to me last week, and y'all can receive this or not, I'm sure not want to sound flaky, is that from the beginning, I mean to the beginning of the conference, I'm looking out and at the pulpit and God says, you're not ready for the glory. Church isn't ready. And he starts showing me people just sitting in services, but they're not doing it. Not showing me them personally, but just as a whole. A lot of people come to church and they hear the word, and they, oh, that's wonderful, but they never go home and meditate the scriptures, never speak it, never confess, don't have a confession list, don't have a faith target. And they think because they go to the evangelistic, or I mean the revivalist church, it's going to happen by osmosis. And there will be corporate outpourings. I'm not saying there won't be. But God said too many people are watching and not doing, and they're not ready for the glory yet. And they thought, listen to what I'm about to say, they thought they've advanced as far as they can advance. They reached a point they think, well, I can't do anything else. I can't speak in public, or I can't go out in public, or I can't, you know, whatever, this is what I've got. And so they reached a point, they're not going any further. You keep coming to church, but they're not advancing in the anointing. And I believe the Lord said to me, and I have to stand before God what I tell you, and I certainly don't want to miss it. I believe God said, I'm switching out the anointing. The example I want to use is now I'm giving you a 12-ton instead of a 1-ton jack. In fact, that's 12 times the power. I said 6 times, didn't I? 12 times the force. I'm giving you a much stronger anointing if you'll believe for it to step into it and step into doing what you thought you couldn't do before. Try to pray in tongues an hour. Watch what happens. Try to believe me for a healing that stopped you in the past and you've not tried to advance beyond it. Try it again. The things that have held you back, push against it with your strength again, and if you believe me for this anointing, it's going to move out of the way. And what this anointing is. As this roller coaster. Say it starts here. It's got a row of cars. Doesn't take a whole lot of force to get that cart moving there. But the further this thing starts up the hill, see if it's right here. Do I have good extra cars in here? It'll take a little more force to start up the hill. Where it's going to take the most force is when the entire roller coaster's on the hill. Now you've got to apply force to get that entire unit up that incline. Here's another thing. God's accelerating all things in the end times. I don't believe this hill looks like this. I believe it looks like this. Well, it's starting off slow, but at the end point, there's a steep rise in what God wants to do through us. And so what's happened is our roller coasters hit this point here, and it's almost like we've stalled. We hit this point where there's a rise in the incline, and we hit that place, and we just don't seem to have the force to push on over. Because I'm giving you a new anointing. If you'll apply it, it's going to be the last, it's going to provide you the last bit of thrust you need to get over the top to that tipping point into the glory. And that was the gist of what he was telling me, is that we're not ready yet. But the anointing he's releasing is going to equip us to accomplish it. Do you buy this morning? I mean, listen, Jesus is either coming back for a victorious church or he's not, a triumphant church or not. Darkness is filling the earth even now, but he says his light's going to be seen upon us. His glory is going to rise on us. There has to be days, tipping point, pivotal days or seasons that we make a shift to go into these things. And I believe it's happening so quick, every time we come together, there's some new shift taking place. But I believe last week was a quantum shift. You may want to meet, so I didn't feel anything. I did. I felt a shift. Not just an excitement for where we're going, because there's an excitement there last week. I mean, there's more excitement last week I felt there than I felt in several years in our meetings. But there was a surge of power released as well. I mean, last week was a tipping point for Bob and Debbie, Pastor Bob and Debbie. Tipping point week. They never ministered at night to one of the conferences that we had. And they got up and knocked it out of the park. Go to the anthill, sluggard. So I want to take what time I have. I spent some time last week because I was looking up the word, I had gotten the word pivot. And pivot represents a point by which you turn. Right? So I looked up in Scripture in the King James the word turn. The word turn appears 271 times in Scripture. The word return, which is very similar, that's just a turn again. Return is something like 239 times. I forget the exact number on it. And so God has turning all through Scripture. And here we see Moses. We start off this verse today. He saw the bush. He saw God not giving him some big promise. Not God, how can I say, showing him some major ministry vision. But all he saw was God give him a little bit of a clue. Here's something you probably need to pay attention to. And he turned and went to that clue. Do you see this? So this message I'm giving you this morning is not God telling you you're going into the glory today. It's not us seeing great signs and wonders, you know, in this service, although God can do it if he wants to. This is God giving us a burning bush saying, turn to the bush and attempt to do what held you back in the past. Believe for the power of my strengthening to come upon you. Well, I can't stay awake all night to pray. You can now. We've always had the caffeine anointing. But I can't wait for Friday night to come now, bless God. I'm expecting the dancing anointing this Friday night. Swing from the rafters type power. Glory to God. Pastor Philip, when he ministered, I think it was Friday morning, he ministered on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he was talking about that when you'd pray, and I've told this many times, we'd pray, and after 35 minutes, you step into the anointing. All of a sudden, it's energized. You can't stop praying. We have that every Friday night. Every Friday night, somewhere between usually 10 minutes and 2 hours, we step in that place, you can't stop praying. And God is giving us indicators. Indicators. You know, I'm sure most of you, if not all, have been to airports before. And they have all those landing strips with blue lights on them. If you fly in Atlanta or something, or JFK, how do they know which one to land on? There are blue lights everywhere. Hope they get this one right I'm on. But those blue lights are indicator lights. They tell them, touch down here. And God gives indicators that don't stop. Don't even go at the same rate. But bust through. Bust through. That time Pastor Callan taught on is not my word like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. If you remember that video where Fantley Smither was, he's a master rock mason. Amen. Stone mason. And he takes these huge rocks. I mean, they're about this tall, yay big around. probably that thick, and he takes his hammer, his rock hammer, and he doesn't swing hard. He just drops it on it. Bing. Bing. Lifts it up. But he always sits in the same spot. Bing. And it may have taken 20 times, it may have taken 50 times. And all of a sudden he's going, bing. Bing. And all of a sudden you hear, thunk. And he said, okay, it's done. Those sound vibrations in the rock are breaking up the crystalline bonds within that rock. And when he hears the thunk, he knows that crack has formed all the way through the rock. And he said, one more time, and the entire rock, I'm a huge rock, goes foop like that. He didn't do any damage to the rock. He's hitting it so light, it's just pinging. And it splits wide open. I'm telling you, God's giving you a bigger hammer. The ability to lift it. He wants to break some bigger things out of your life. A mistake in faith is to take your past and predict your future. It's to project your future out of what you've experienced in the past. Because God's always accelerating. What you've got to do is look in the Word to see where you're going to have any ability to move into it. Because one looks at their past are always limited or weighed down by the progress of the past. Now, I've been in this 30 years. I've seen a lot of stuff, but not all I'm going to see. But I only have 30 more years to wait. I've got to believe that what He's doing in me now is going to outdistance what He's done in me in the past. And just move into it. Just move into it. If you'd asked me 14 months ago, are you ready to raise somebody from that? I said, no. But an opportunity arose that it happened. We stepped into it. And God did. Are you following me? He needs us to believe Him to move out. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Are you getting anything out of this morning? Deuteronomy 2. Verse 1. Then we turned. Oh, glory to God. There's turning. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. As the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. Now let me stop right there. Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers cover 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Deuteronomy covers the last 30 days. If you look at the dating, Deuteronomy is written regarding the last 30 days. And what it is primarily is God reiterating what He told them over the past 40 years. So here they are, they've come all full circle again by the Red Sea, turned again, going in circles. And He says, verse 2, and the Lord spake unto me, saying, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn ye northward. Turn. You've gone in circles the same way. See, when you're going around the mountain, she'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. When you go around the mountain, it's much like NASCAR. She's making a whole bunch of left turns or right turns, depending on which way you're going around the mountain. But if you look at the travels of Israel, they were making left turns. They're making left turns around this mountain all the time. And apparently they get to the top, north side of the mountain, and God says, you've gone in circles long enough. In other words, you were limited by your ability to go in and take the land. It wasn't the timing to go in and take the land. Now, I may know they blew it 40 years before. But there was a divine time. God says, okay, it's going to be time again when that generation dies off. He says, you've gone around this thing long enough. Yeah, 40 years. 40 years they've been going in circles. And He says, now, turn ye northward. In other words, turn the other direction. If they were making left turns all the way, then to turn northward must have been a right turn. Ooh, a right turn. They made the right turn. After 40 years of wandering, God had to get their attention and say, this isn't producing for you. You need to make a turn. Make a shift. Make an adjustment. And of course, what he says is, now it's time to go in and possess the land. And he starts giving instructions. When you go into the land, here's what you're going to do. Deuteronomy doesn't give instructions on what to do in the wilderness anymore. It's instructions on what to do in the promised land. It's all about when you go into the land, do this. And I believe God is telling us, we've gone around the mountain long enough. Not that God wasn't in our lives going around him. It's not like we're wandering in circles aimlessly. We have a target. But God said, a new anointing's come on your life. Now it's time to turn and go in and possess. It's time to challenge with the anointing and with faith what's held you back in the past. Amen. We use this verse quite often about moving out with God. But never thought about the word turn being in it before. That was a pivot point. That was a pivotal point in all of history. Israel quit wandering for 40 years and went in and showed us how to possess. Right? By faith. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We'll close with this. I've got about 50 verses here. We're just going to cover the four. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Understand, the last thing I want to do is come across is flaky. The last thing I want to do is conjure up some word just to excite people. At the same time, I'm not going to hold back from what God tells me to say, because then I'm held responsible. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 1, and it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all nations, the nations whither the Lord thy God has driven thee. And thou shalt return, there's return. You shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day. Thou and thy children on all thine heart, with all thine heart and with all thy soul. That then, once you turn to God with everything, then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and will have compassion upon thee and will return and gather thee from all the nations where the Lord thy God has scattered thee. Amen? And he goes on and on about this turnaround. He says, if you'll turn unto God, God will turn unto you and he will turn your captivity. Well, captivity is anything that's held us back in the past. We're not in jail or in bondage, but we are being held back from our inheritance, right? By unbelief. And God says, I'm going to turn all that around as you turn to me. Expect, as you start reading the word from this point on, you can get more of it than ever before. Expect, as you pray for people out in public, you're going to see more anointing than ever before. Amen. As you speak in tongues, believe God's going to do more within you than ever before. Jude 1:20 says, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Believe that and do it. It's moving you up the hill to get over the top. I'm telling you, God gave that gift to us to put us over the top. And I'm looking forward to coasting for a while. I'll still be working on our faith. There'll still be challenges, but I'm talking about where the anointing's being put in visible fashion versus everything. Well, you go to that church, what are you guys doing? I won't see nothing in your church. Look how small you are. I'm ready for some turnaround. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I thank you for your word that's creating here a desire, a determination, not to be held back. Don't let the people see this is a cheerleading message, but a pivotal message that you've released, Lord God, that if we'll do it, we're going to step into it. As we do, I believe, Lord God, you're going to show yourself strong on our behalf. Change us. The church is never the same from this point on. We believe you for a supernatural release. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Well, listen to marriage conferences tonight.